Roymans Product Management Podcast. Prioritizing a product backlog when everything is important. The product backlog is an essential product management tool. It captures detailed product decisions and it directs the work of the development team. Now, the latter requires that it is prioritized or ordered. But how can you prioritize a product backlog when everything seems to be equally important? That's the question I'm discussing today, and I'll suggest taking four steps to get to an effective and prioritized product backlog. The first step is to ensure that you know who the product is for and why people will want to use it. So, a few years ago, I was working on a healthcare product, and in fact, I was part of a team that was called in to help with the development of this product because it wasn't going too well. And one of the things that we noticed is that there were loads of requirements and lots of features that the product should implement. And so one of the things that I said to the person in charge of the product, the product manager, is that it would be a good idea to prioritize all those features and requirements. And the individual looked at me, and the look that she gave me really, you know, was a look of bewilderment. And she said to me, "I can't. They are all high priority." And prioritization, of course, means that we decide how important an item is. But if everything is high priority, then in fact, everything is equally important, and that means that nothing is a priority. The trouble is, of course, without clear priorities, the development team lacks the necessary direction, and there's usually only a slim chance of creating a successful product. Now, reflecting on what are the root causes of not being able to prioritize a product backlog, I find that maybe the most important one is a lack of understanding of who the users of the product are and what specific value it should create for them. So I find it quite common that features are added to the product backlog because a senior stakeholder demands it, so the highest paid person's opinion wins, or somebody thinks it's a good idea. Maybe user stories get brainstormed and just added to the product backlog. But a product exists, or at least it should exist, to generate value for the users and for the company providing it. If it is not clear who the users are and why they would want to interact with the product, then it will be hard to decide which items should be in the product backlog and how important they are. So to mitigate the risk of adding the wrong items to the backlog, I suggest that you ensure that you have a validated product strategy in place. And that applies equally to brand new products as well as existing ones. And such a strategy should contain four key pieces of information. The first one is the users and customers of the product. And those individuals, those groups should be described in such a way that it is clear who will benefit from the offering and who won't. And then secondly, the main problem that product should address, or the primary benefit it should offer, the main goal users will want to achieve with it, or the primary job it should do for those individuals. And then the third element are the 3 to 5 key features that will make your product stand out from the crowd and differentiate it. And finally, the specific business benefits it should create, so the desired benefits for the company. Let's look at a brief example, and let's say that I want to create a product that helps people eat healthily. That seems to be my favorite product example, at least at present. Then I could choose to address, say, middle-aged men who suffer from unhealthy eating habits and who might not exercise enough. And the benefit to them might be to reduce the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And the standout features might be to measure food sugar levels, analyze the user's eating habits so people become more aware of them, and integrate with leading smart scales. And the business goals, finally, at least for me, for my business, might be to diversify the company and open up a new revenue stream. Now, in addition to being able to state these pieces of information, you should be confident that your strategy is correct, and you should have the necessary data to support your view. So, in other words, you should have addressed the key assumptions and key risks in the strategy, and you should have carried out the necessary validation work. So you should have sufficiently de-risked it. It doesn't mean that there's 100% guarantee that it'll translate into a successful product. But again, you should be confident that you've chosen the right target group, that the value proposition is right, and so forth. Now, if you lack a tool to describe your product strategy, try out my product vision boards to capture and validate it. But there are other great tools out there as well, including the value proposition canvas and the lean canvas. The next step, step two, is to describe the outcome or benefits the product should create in the next few months. Now, I'm assuming that you have a validated product strategy in place. That is great, but it's not quite enough. What we now need is a specific midterm product goal that is connected to the strategy and creates the right context to now decide which backlog items should be in the backlog and which ones are more important and which ones are less. And in order to create such a goal, I suggest that you ask yourself which outcome or benefit your product should achieve in the next, say, 3 to 6 months. What are the desired user and business benefits that you want to create? And make sure that this goal is in line with the product strategy, that it helps create the desired user and business benefits. So using the sample strategy I mentioned earlier, a good goal might be acquire an initial user base and help the users understand their eating habits. So I've chosen a dual goal here to capture the desired business and user benefits. Now, I like to take this idea further and not only derive the next product goal, but several product goals for about the next 12 months, and then capture them on a product roadmap. The benefit is that this puts the goal chosen in context, and it communicates how the product is likely to evolve over a longer period, which can be very helpful to understand for the stakeholders. Now, if you already have a product roadmap, that's nice, that's great. Just ensure that it does implement the overall product strategy. And if it doesn't state outcomes, benefits, goals, then consider reworking it so that you can capture those pieces of information. The third step is to remove all items from the backlog that do not support the outcome that you've identified. So use your goal, your product goal, to delete all items from the product backlog that do not serve it. Now, this might sound a bit radical, but it ensures that your product backlog becomes concise and focused. It avoids having items on the backlog that are speculative and may not create a value. And it is really then a prerequisite for carrying out the first, for carrying out the prioritization and ordering the remaining product backlog items. So if you feel that you don't want to lose any items, then you've got two options. Well, I can at least think of two options. The first one is you can look at your product roadmap and then introduce a corresponding feature, assuming that there is a goal that supports this, that this new feature supports, or that you can create a new goal. But be careful not to add too much detail to your product roadmap and keep it at a high level. So my rule of thumb is no epics, no user stories on the roadmap. So it should really be a high level strategic plan that doesn't overlap and compete with the product backlog. but that connects an overarching product strategy with the detailed product decisions, that is the backlog. And alternatively, that's the second option that I can suggest. You may want to move the items to the bottom of the product backlog and mark them as currently not relevant. The drawback here can be that this may lead to the creation of what I call zombie items, product backlog items that are neither quite alive nor dead, that stay at the bottom of your product backlog and clog it up. And in the worst case, somebody says, hey, you know, what's down there at the product backlog? Surely we should implement this now, right? But it's no longer relevant. Now, if you think that removing the items is going to be very difficult, if not impossible, then this is an opportunity for a reflection. It may indicate that you lack the necessary empowerment, the necessary authority as the person in charge of the product, and or that the stakeholders do not buy into the overall product strategy and the specific product goal that you have chosen. And involving the individuals in the decision-making process can help you address both issues. And making decisions together with the stakeholders allows them to voice their ideas and concerns, helps you understand their underlying needs and interests and goals, and it usually makes it more likely that they understand and support important product decisions. Now, if that's what you want to do, then I would suggest that you set up a meeting carefully and invite the stakeholders to them, but carefully prepare it and choose a decision rule. So, for instance, consent, which means nobody has any meaningful objections, and therefore a decision will be made. And then also ask your Scrum Master or another skilled facilitator to help run the meeting so that everybody is heard, but nobody dominates. If you want to learn more about securing stakeholder buy-in and making decisions collaboratively, you may want to have a look at my book, How to Lead in Product Management, that offers specific practices. Now, finally, step four, we're ready for step four. Prioritize the remaining product backlog items. Whenever you work on a product backlog that is new or has significantly changed, I recommend that you initially prioritize by risk, use risk as the prioritization factors, taking into account user, technology, and business-related risks. So I suggest that you assess all product backlog items, preferably together with the development team or development team representatives, and then move those to the top that carry the highest risks. Why? Well, by addressing the riskiest items first, we accelerate learning, enforce fast failure, and thereby avoid failing late when there are less options to change course. And finally, ensure that the high priority items are ready, that the development can actually implement them in the next sprint. So there's a shared understanding, they're small enough to fit into the sprint, and they're testable. Now, you might be wondering what was up with the healthcare product that I mentioned earlier. The prioritization difficulties were indeed rooted in the lack of a clear and agreed product strategy and the absence of a clear focused goal for the initial version. And as a consequence, when the product launched, it was more like a maximum viable product rather than a minimum one. And unfortunately, it pretty much bombed. And so this resulted in the company losing significant market share and people leaving the enterprise. And I think, you know, this story shows how important it is to systematically connect features and requirements to an overarching product strategy and make sure that you have that strategy in place first before you worry too much about the solution and the product details. So these are my thoughts on prioritizing a product backlog when everything seems to be equally important. I hope you've found them helpful. If you'd like to learn more, then please take a look at my product strategy and roadmap training course to learn more about product strategy and product roadmapping, and my product owner training course to learn more about the product backlog. and my book Strategize, again, to learn more about strategy and road mapping practices, and my book Agile Product Management with Scrum to learn more about product backlog practices. And I also mentioned during the discussion that if you're interested in collaborative decision making and stakeholder management, stakeholder collaboration, you might benefit from reading my book, How to Lead in Product Management. So I hope this was helpful for you. Thank you for listening.